Monday afternoon to you. It's FYI Politics with Brett Johnson, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brett also joined alongside Sam Turnberg. Well, not alongside. You're technically on the other side of the production glass. That would probably be violating social distancing if we were alongside each other, but that's besides the point. Sam, how you doing in there today?
Not too bad over here.
Excellent, excellent. Gotten a chance to go out on any of the trails for walking, biking, or doing anything like that? Or have you been busy with other stuff?
Yeah, no, I went out, it turns out, to the same place Matt McNeil was at over the weekend. So, and at the same time, but I didn't see him. So.
Oh, you didn't see him, though.
No, huh? But I saw his Facebook post. I was like, I was there. Wait, around that same exact time. So.
Oh, that's too bad. I wish you would have photobombed him on there. Would have been funny to see if he would have noticed if you had photobombed him.
The dog we were with would have been taking all the attention if that had been the case.
Yeah. Which lake were you at, or trail?
It was the Mississippi. I forget exactly the name of it.
Oh, I saw him post about that. Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit north of Minneapolis, I think.
Yeah, it's in like over north Minneapolis. Right. It's like the Mississippi Regional Trail or something. Mm-hmm. It's just right down the river, though. It was pretty nice. I liked it.
Yeah, I biked on that one several times myself. They extended that trail a few years ago where it basically now runs from downtown Minneapolis all the way up to the Coon Rapids Dam, which that's where I was biking this weekend on Saturday, knew the Coon Rapids Dam, then also heading over to Maple Grove. I've been trying to head up a lot of the trails over the past few weeks. I got a list of them that I want to do all over the metro area, so that's the one I was at. But yeah, it's very cool since over the past few years they've extended that all the way down to Minneapolis so you can ride along the entire Mississippi River, which is absolutely beautiful to do.
Yeah, we saw that on the map there, and my partner's actually from Coon Rapids, so we're like, mm-hmm. Hey, maybe we should get some bikes sometime and bike from me, because they live mm-hmm. in North Minneapolis, and we could bike from there up to Coon Rapids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get some great views on that dam as well. I think they redid the park just this year, as at least it looks way different than it has in years past. They redid the parking lot and added some other features too, so that's one I would certainly recommend checking out. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205 do have open phone lines for most of the hour. And Sam, I imagine those walking trails were pretty packed where you were along the Mississippi River.
Yeah, for the most part, we were able to maintain some social distancing. Mm-hmm. But right up where the parking lot area that we parked at was, there's some, like, group picnic areas where people were having some group picnics. I'm not sure if everyone's quite following the orders. But
no, clearly not everyone is following those orders. I ran by a couple of picnics myself, and it's great, too, when I'm out there biking on some of these trails, when you're trying to pass someone and you have a group of like six people that are spread out horizontally, so they're taking up the entire trail and you have no way to pass them whatsoever. And you have to yell, on your left, and yeah, a lot of times they don't quite hear you, which is, even if you didn't have social distancing, that's not a good idea to be walking six people in a row on an entire good 12-foot wide trail. Just not a good idea in the first place. Then you add in the social distancing aspect. Yeah, got to be smart when you're out there on those trails. But maybe we're getting a lot of people that haven't been on walking and hiking and biking trails. Yes. Well, in fact, that's true according to a recent study from the DNR. Minnesota DNR put out numbers showing that 51% of an increase has taken place in walking and bicycling in the metro area over the past 5 weeks. 51% increase. I just love that number because I would love to know how they measure the increase in walking and biking and come up with that exact number of 51%. I mean, I imagine you could probably just go and estimate that and say, all right, we've seen a 50% or a 60% increase. But to say exactly a 51% increase in bicycling and walking traffic over the past 5 weeks. And then they said it's a 72% increase since the middle of March. So people are definitely getting out there. But please, if you're going out on those trails, do use common sense. Don't walk in a giant pack together where no one is able to pass you. And then, of course, practice social distancing too.
Yeah, and probably don't have big barbecues with people outside your household right now. I know everyone really wants to get out and do it, But that's the reason kind of why we're still in this for this long, is because people really aren't taking it seriously.
Yeah, exactly. And now that you're talking about that North Mississippi Trail, were you seeing people barbecue in that? I don't know if you went quite up. There's a couple of parks that run right along there that have like a couple of grilling areas and it, kind of like some gazebo type things.
Yeah, it was a parking lot there where we parked at, and then we walked up north from there. But yeah, there were like some like official like grilling barbecue areas, and one of them was particularly packed, probably around 15-20 people. I can't imagine they're all in the same household. So
yeah, I was thinking just as I was remembering the setup of that trail that runs along the Mississippi River with all of those little areas, yeah, there's probably plenty of people who aren't quite following those social distancing guidelines. By the way, speaking of not following social distancing guidelines, and we shouldn't be surprised by this, and we should expect to see more of these in the coming weeks, already a North Carolina protester has tested positive for COVID-19. That's one of those protesters who was trying to get North Carolina to reopen their state. A leader of the group called Reopen NC revealed in a Facebook post that she has tested positive for the coronavirus. Audrey Whitlock, who helped organize two protests calling for Governor Roy Cooper to lift his stay-at-home order, described herself as asymptomatic, but she still did end up testing positive for COVID-19. That raises a couple of questions. If she's asymptomatic, how was she able to get tests in the first place? Because I know a lot of people in Minnesota where we've done a pretty good job with our testing that have had COVID-like symptoms and weren't able to get tests, but then, even if she has tested positive and is asymptomatic, yeah, I wonder how many people she ended up infecting at that North Carolina protest. So we'll probably see more of these things trickle in over the next few days and weeks, similar to what happened to Wisconsin when we have a few dozen people that have already tested positive for the coronavirus that at least took place in the elections. Not causation, but correlation, perhaps, between those two happening, at least in terms of what's been happening over in Wisconsin. Got to bring this up, too, for national news. So certainly the big thing on Friday was President Donald Trump telling everyone that, well, if you drink bleach or inject yourself with disinfectants, that potentially could fight off the coronavirus. Obviously, completely absurd, and I'm sure you heard that too on Friday. Sam, what was your reaction when you first heard that? Were you thinking, this can't be real? Maybe this is like The Onion or something reporting this.
I mean, I'm kind of beyond that with Trump. Yeah. I'm not surprised. What gets me is the response of a lot of the hardcore conservatives that I know and the roller coaster of excuses they've been on over the past couple days of trying to find a way to make an excuse for Trump and completely backtracking. And it just kind of blows my mind. If they're never going to get it, ever.
Right.
If this hasn't done it, or kids in cages hasn't done it, or any of the other things Trump hasn't done it, like, they're just never, they will, as he said, he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue in New York and shoot somebody, and they would still be praising him.
My favorite excuse I've heard is that he didn't mean it, which is funny, because so many people voted for him in the first place because they said he would say what he would do, and he would mean what he would say. And now we're getting the excuse as well, he didn't really mean what he was saying, which goes exactly against what they were talking about in 2016.
And then that's kind of crazy, too. Like, you're going to have the president of the United States who's going to use a COVID-19, a contagious, deadly virus, potentially deadly virus, briefing, and he's going to use that as a chance to practice his stand-up? Like, in what world does the president of the United States, in a trying time, trying to give the American people comfort through this, use that as an opportunity to make a sarcastic remark?
Yeah, when you're talking about a global pandemic and you're giving daily press conferences, you don't want to turn that into comedy hour.
But let's not forget, though, that Obama's tan suit, that really is what does it.
Exactly.
If Trump wore a tan suit,
it would blend in with his skin and his hair, so you'd have that going for
him. Oh, let's not think of that, actually. No, good point.
Oh, actually, that's a very disturbing image in my mind, because we don't need to get into that.
At least Obama pulled it off really well.
Ugh, can we use the dump button on that? I don't ever want to imagine Donald Trump using or wearing a tan suit. That is a horrible image in my head. Oh, man. All right, the reason I bring this up is that the question is, why was Trump bringing up this idea last Friday that we should be trying to inject ourselves with disinfectant or potentially drinking bleach to get rid of the coronavirus? Well, and again, it's not proof that this was the cause, but there certainly is a little bit of correlation with this. So there's this guy from Florida by the name of Mark Grennan, who leads a group that has been pushing the president to try to push the idea that bleach could be a solution for COVID-19. Now, apparently, just a few days before Trump went and made his infamous statements on Friday, this guy had sent a letter to the Trump administration telling him that you guys should consider using bleach and promoting bleach as a possible solution to COVID-19. This was just a few days before Friday when apparently this guy sent this letter to the Trump administration. So this guy is named Mark Grennan, and he styles himself as the Archbishop of Genesis 2, which is a Florida-based outfit that claims to be a church, but which is in fact the largest producer and distributor of chloride dioxide bleach as a miracle cure in the United States. He brands the chemical as a miracle mineral solution and claims, fraudulently by the way, that it can cure 99% of all illnesses, including cancer, malaria, HIV, AIDS, as well as, well, we always got to throw this in there, autism, because when you're talking about those types of conspiracy groups, you normally have to include autism in there somehow in terms of how that can possibly be cured. But yeah, he apparently sent this letter to the administration just a few days before Trump went ahead and made this speech. So there's no proof that, well, as soon as Trump received that letter, if he even personally read the letter, that he went ahead and decided to give this press conference. But the timing is certainly a little suspicious on this, being that the letter was sent just a few days before he then went on Friday and then proposed the idea that disinfectants could possibly be a cure for COVID-19. Yeah, it's certainly a stretch to put that out, that some random guy could send a letter to the president of the United States and then the president could possibly bring that up in a news conference, but not the first time we've seen this type of thing from him, being that he started, of course, Donald Trump tweeting about liberating Minnesota and Michigan, among other states, as soon as he was seeing rallies about that posted on social media. Then, of course, we have another example when just a few minutes after one of those Fox News hosts said that the cure cannot be worse than the disease, well, just a few minutes after that, we saw the president tweeting and then talking about that. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We do have a guest coming up at 2:20, so let's go ahead and try to see if we can squeeze Gary in here real quick before we head to our first guest of the show. So, Gary, what is on your mind today? Oh, looks like we lost Gary. Hey, so Gary, go ahead and call on back. Coming up in the second half of the show, Sam trying to do yeoman's work in there, working the phones. But we do have that guest coming up at 2:20, as it's going to be part of our We're Still Open series, as we're going to be talking with the owner of Zero Res, explaining the importance of why you should be keeping your homes clean amid this pandemic. So we'll take a break on AM 950. Come on back with your phone calls as well in the second half of the show. It's FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
Formerly the Audubon Center of the Northwoods, Osprey Wilds is a nonprofit environmental learning center on Grindstone Lake in Sandstone, Minnesota. Osprey Wilds has community events like Dinner at the Lake, Maple Syrup Day, and learning opportunities for all ages. Audit an environmental education college class, snowshoe or ski our trails, or learn about our wildlife programming. We're open to the public year-round. Visit online at OspreyWilds.org. That's OspreyWilds.org.
Hey, this is Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from BradBlog.com. Join me and Desi Doyen weeknights on AM 950 at 7 p.m. for the Bradcast. 1 hour of interviews, analysis, news, and snark that you need, but you won't get from anywhere else. Join me for the Bradcast with Brad Friedman.
And me, Desi Doyen.
Whatever. Right here, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. Thanks to everyone who has signed up for an AM 950 membership.
We've appreciated all the kind notes, phone calls, and comments, and we're committed to getting through this with you. And due to that overwhelming response, we want to provide something special for our members. That's why we've launched a member content page on am950radio.com that will feature exclusive bonus podcasts from Matt McNeil, author interviews, and a series of monthly conversations with Tom Hartman. If you're a member, just check your email inbox on Tuesday morning for your passcode, then head over to am950radio.com, click member content, and enter your passcode. Each week, we'll post new bonus podcasts to our member content page. And if you don't have a membership yet, it's not too late. We can still always use more memberships, as we know we're a long way from getting through this pandemic. Just go to am950radio.com to purchase your membership. Thanks again for your support of AM950 and keeping Minnesota's only progressive talk station on the air. Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics, and I want to thank you for listening to AM950. The advertisers you hear are what allows us to stay on the airwaves, and unfortunately, some of them are going to be going through some tough times with the coronavirus. So support our advertisers in any way you can, whether that's ordering takeout food from one of our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, purchasing gift cards, or just contacting them and telling them thanks for supporting AM950. Even the littlest thing you can do can go a long way. Find a full list of our advertisers at am950radio.com, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Matt McNeil, and I want to encourage you to join me weekday afternoons at 3 p.m. for the Matt McNeil Show. It's a Twin Cities-based full hour of talk where we discuss what's going on in the state and in the nation from a Minnesota perspective. We'll be joined by a lot of great guests, and we'll take your phone calls. Interact with us on the Twitter page, at Matt McNeil Show, the Facebook page, Progressive Citizen X, the Matt McNeil Show, and on email, comment at am950radio.com. The Matt McNeil Show, weekday afternoons at 3, right here on AM950.
Welcome back to AM950. It's Brett Johnson with you on a Monday afternoon. Well, as part of our continuing series of We're Still Open, where we highlight a number of businesses that have remained open amid the COVID-19 pandemic, happy to welcome in Jim Hoag. He is the co-owner and managing partner over of Zero Res, as we're going to chat through how they've been dealing with the coronavirus pandemic and why it's important to make sure you're keeping your home clean. So, Jim, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling in today.
Hey, thanks, Brett. How are you?
Hey, doing good here. So how have things been going for you over at Zero Res?
Oh, it's a crazy time. You know, a month ago, we were just kind of gearing up for Easter, and we were kind of getting ready. That's when our really spring cleaning really kicks off. Most of the snow is gone. And then all of a sudden, you know, it gets crazy with the COVID-19. So we quickly pivoted and said, okay, well, now we've got to figure out how to keep our team safe, how to keep our customers safe. Can we stay open? Of course, that was kind of the first hurdle with the essential businesses stuff that they designated. And fortunately, I think it was a pretty easy call. We were designated as essential. And I think, you know, with the CDC talking about cleaning nonstop, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, definitely, because you would think with people spending so much time at home now, being that they can't go to work, it's got to be that much more important to make sure that you're keeping your home clean.
It really is. You've got your kids, your family, your dogs, and whatever else is going on. And if you're there all the time, having it clean is really the right way to go. CDC says it's one of the most important things you can do in your home. In fact, in many cases, disinfecting isn't even effective unless you first clean, get rid of the bacteria, get rid of the germs, and kind of give a fresh baseline. So that's what we do. We pivoted pretty quickly to a zero-res, zero-contact protocol, where we make sure that we're very, very careful about social distancing. We wear gloves, we wear booties, we wear masks as they're available, depending on the needs of the healthcare system. And we disinfect our equipment. It's a little bit different out there. Some of those things we had done before, but the social distancing really is kind of changed things. Some customers are in their cars. They want to be in their backyard, in their cars, in another part of the house. And so they're communicating with our technician on a cell phone. So that's okay, too. We can serve you however it is that you're comfortable.
Yeah, and I like the fact that you have gone that extra mile to make sure that you are really staying safe, as you were talking about. You're wearing those boots all the time, you're wearing gloves, you're sanitizing your equipment between jobs, because a lot of people probably are nervous about having, well, strangers in their home for any period of time, and you certainly have gone to those extra lengths to make sure that everyone stays safe.
I think it's going to kind of be the new norm for a long time, and a lot of it makes good sense. It's just good sense.
So
you know, why do we shake hands all the time? You know, and now when you really think about it, we just never thought about it. And all of a sudden it's like, yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, you're right. I wonder if those types of measures will still stay in place, because as you're kind of talking about, always good to be kind of better safe than sorry with those measures. So, yeah, maybe some of those will end up being some permanent measures. It'll be interesting to see as the weeks and months go on. So can you describe the type of cleaning that Zero Res does? Because you certainly clean both carpet and air ducts, but can you go into a little bit more detail about how that type of cleaning works and why it's so good to do in your home?
Well, with our carpet cleaning, the water that we use, it's powered water, it's electrolyzed, and it's very high pH, around 11. And it is a sanitizing water. So it really is a very, very effective cleaner without using the surfactants and the soaps and shampoos and, you know, whatever else you put in your carpet. So it's a much more effective and much cleaner way to do it. We were tested by the Carpet and Rug Institute, and we were rated the highest you can possibly rate. They said this is the best clean we've ever seen. And so we got the platinum rating, and then it's the right way to clean. With the duct cleaning, we do a disinfectant fog when we're finished. There's no charge for that now at this time. And so what a great place to start, to do a negative air clean, to get everything down into your trunk line and bring it out into your basement, and then to go into all of those trunks and disinfect them. And you really have a great, healthy home as kind of a baseline.
And what I like, too, about your cleaning services, I've had you guys out a few times at my home over the past few years. In fact, even going back to, I think, the first time, like, 10 years ago when I was actually when I was getting ready to vacate the apartment I was living in at that time, since I was moving, had a party the night before and had a couple of spills around the place, and I was trying to clean that carpet, had no luck doing it whatsoever. But what I remembered about that first one is that when you guys leave, you don't even have that kind of cleaner smell all over the apartment, which is really nice not to have. So you certainly have some good cleaning solutions, too, that don't leave that leftover smell for days and days.
Right. That's a little bit annoying. It's kind of a masking in some situations where you feel like it's clean because it smells a certain way. But no, we just like to get it clean the right way. And, of course, we do a great job with tile, with upholstery, with commercial cleaning right now, with so many buildings that are empty. It's a great time to very painlessly get those cleaned up. And if you need a little bit of time and want to set up some no-interest financing for a couple of months, we certainly are willing to work with our commercial customers on that as well.
And we're speaking with Jim Hogue. He's the co-owner and managing partner over at Zero Res. You're experts for cleaning your carpets, but do want to highlight the fact that you do also clean air ducts. I know you were alluding to this earlier, but yeah, a lot of times when you have a spill, it's easy to see that your carpet's dirty and you certainly need to get that cleaned. But the air ducts are a little bit different. It's not something you can necessarily see, but the benefits of cleaning air ducts are still certainly there, correct?
Well, it's vital to a healthy home, because everything that goes into your air is coming out of those vents in the wintertime, the summertime, and whatever's coming out of those vents is ultimately falling on your floor, falling on your carpet, and then your carpet becomes this giant filter, and that's why it's about the whole home system. It's about a healthy home, clean carpets, clean vent system. And now you've got clean air and you've got a clean environment for your family. And how you do it is critically important. You know, with vent cleaning, there are several different ways you can go. You can start all the way from with a shop vac, which is going to do virtually nothing, to, you know, trying to suck things up out of the vents, out of the trunk line, and then up the house. So you've got gravity working against you, and it's just a very ineffective way to do it. And then what kind of tools you're going to use down in that vent system? You've got many, many different vent styles, sizes, materials, construction, and so you've got to have a very, very powerful system pulling it down using gravity, bring it into your trunk line, and then pull it out. And that's the effective way to do it. And then to go in and fog with a disinfectant, as I said before, it's a great place to be.
Yeah.
Right now, everything is 20% off. We've never done this, Brett. We're 20% off everything right now. Ducts, carpet, commercial. So it's a beautiful time to take advantage of with your spring cleaning.
Yeah, that 20% off is a great deal. And as you were describing the process of properly cleaning your air ducts, that sounds like it's a lot better option than trying to do it yourself with the number of steps involved. And then you combine that with the fact that everything's 20% off. That certainly sounds like a great bargain, especially since everyone's going to be at home for, well, the foreseeable future for the next several months. So, yeah, definitely sounds like a great option to do.
Yeah, we clean some vents, and I hear back from the technicians. You know, some of the things that are coming out of their vent systems, you know, it's been 20 years, you know, that house in St. Louis Park, built in the 40s, 50s, Roseville, same thing, 60s, even the 80s, you know, it's been years. Some of them have never been cleaned. And so just think, you know, what's blowing through that home's air system.
Yeah, it's got to be amazing how well that functions after you get those clean. All right, Jim, so how can people get a hold of you over at Zero Res and go ahead and try to book a cleaning?
Well, you can go online if you'd like to at zeroresmn.com, or you give us a call at 651-779-8888, and we'd love to get you on our schedule.
Absolutely. Hey, we've been speaking with Jim Hogue. He is the co-owner and managing partner over at Zero Res. Highly encourage you to check them out. You're going to be at home for the next several months, so might as well make sure your carpet and your air ducts are clean. And as Jim mentioned, you can get 20% off all services, which is certainly a great bargain. Again, visit zeroresmn.com. Jim, really appreciate the time today.
Hey, thank you, Brett. Have a great day.
We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Continue with some local news coming up next on AM 950.
There are so many times in life when it's important to have a plan. I'm attorney Rachel Schroman, and I can tell you from experience that so much pain can be prevented with an estate plan or an arrangement for long-term care costs. I work with families with many different dynamics and budgets, and my goal is always to give them peace of mind while helping them protect their legacy. Learn more about me at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. Zero Res understands that to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, the CDC recommends cleaning carpets and hard surfaces where we live and work. And that's what they do best. Their zero-contact protocol means their technicians will wear gloves and shoe covers, disinfect all equipment between jobs, and exercise social distancing while cleaning and sanitizing your home. Right now, Zero Res is offering 20% off all services to AM 950 listeners. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and make sure you mention AM 950 to get 20% off.
In response to COVID-19, Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is working to be safe and healthy for our customers and employees. We enable and require our employees to stay home if they are sick. We are closing our showroom temporarily, but we are answering our phone calls and emails. We can do a lot remotely and electronically. Email us your pictures, sketches, and plans of your project. We will listen to your ideas and make suggestions. We can explain which products will work and price them. We are doing installation and service cost estimating and scheduling. Visit us online at woodlandstoves.com, give us a call, or email us at info@woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Did you know there's deconstruction funding available now for homeowners and contractors in Hennepin County? If you are embarking on a remodel or teardown this year, consider hiring Better Futures Minnesota's deconstruction crews instead of demolition. By taking a house or building apart by hand instead of destroying it with heavy equipment, the materials can be reused or recycled instead of going into the landfill. It is much more cost-effective and is a carbon-neutral solution. Go to betterfuturesminnesota.com and look under business services to learn more.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly sunny skies today with a high near 74. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 49. Tuesday, rain with a high near 56. And Wednesday, cloudy with a high around 61.
Thanks to everyone who has supported AM 950 by becoming members. We've appreciated all the kind notes, calls, and comments, and we're committed to getting through this and supporting our community. We could still use some help getting memberships, though, as we know we're still a long way from getting through this pandemic. Go to am950radio.com to purchase your membership today. I'll make one back to that interview with Jim over at Zero Res. If you would like to book an appointment with Zero Res, make sure you mention that you heard about them through AM 950. Really helps us out. And, yeah, it's a good thing to do. So mention you heard about Zero Res from AM 950 when you call them, and they have that great deal going on right now where you get that 20% off pretty much any service that they have. Also, you just heard that ad talking about how we're still always looking for more memberships. We had, by the way, an overwhelming response to the amount of memberships that have already been purchased and being rolled out tomorrow. We are going to start giving our members benefits. If you head over to am950radio.com, you might see a button that says member content. Well, coming up tomorrow, if you have signed up for a membership, check your email inbox during the morning, as we are going to be sending out a passcode that will allow you to access that member content page. So if you go to am950radio.com, you click on member content, it'll ask for that passcode, and you can find that passcode from an email that we will be sending out tomorrow morning. So make sure that you are watching your inbox. And then once you're on that member content page, we are going to be posting some bonus podcasts that only members will be able to access. In fact, we just recorded our first bonus podcast last week as Matt McNeil had a conversation with Tom Hartman about his recent book, The Hidden History of the Supreme Court. A really good conversation. So that will be our first bonus podcast. The plan is that Matt McNeil, and I might get in on this too, is that we'll post at least one weekly podcast talking about just kind of the news of the day. I'm guessing Matt and I will probably record that after our live shows during like the 4 o'clock hour. Then we'll get that posted about once a week or so. But then we're going to include a monthly conversation with Tom Hartman that you'll also be able to find on that member content page. So lots of good stuff in the pipeline. Make sure you're checking that email inbox tomorrow for your passcode to access the AM 950 member content page over at am950radio.com. Gary's been hanging on the phone lines forever. Let's go to Gary in Minneapolis. What's on your
Hi,
mind,
Brett,
hey, Gary?
How you doing?
Hey, doing great here. You staying safe, Gary?
I'm trying to do the best I can, but anyways, what I called about is it's a downright shame that so many working people were conned by that madman Dottie to get him in office. It just gets me. Just take a look at the 8th District up there in the range, you know, and look at West Virginia, look at the Rust Belt out there. They're all hurting, so they go to the devil for answers. And he conned them. I don't understand it. But anyways, the Democrats have to get back to the basics and let the people know they're friends of the working people again. Stop being such close allies to the corporate bankers and stuff like that. And then there's a reason Roosevelt won 4 terms and we dominated Congress for 2-3 generations, because he made war with the rich. So he said he was their outcast. He was one of them. They felt betrayed by him. He was rich himself, and he would stand on the steps of the White House saying, "Well, unionize." He was up there for working people. We need that back. Bernie and Elizabeth are the start of it, and us followers of them, we got to change this country around, or it's going to be hopeless. You know, back in the 30s, it almost went under. Roosevelt saved this country. Maybe he shouldn't have. I don't know. But when they have revolutions, a lot of people get hurt. So thank you.
All right. Appreciate the phone call there, Gary. And one of your comments that stuck out to me was talking about how people in areas like the 8th District of Minnesota, a very heavy mining area, or he was mentioning West Virginia, how increasingly those parts of the country are voting Republican over the past few years when it looks like on the surface, people are voting against their best interests. And that reminded me of an interview I had with Aaron Brown of Minnesota Brown, who, by the way, is our expert on northern Minnesota politics. Gosh, I think we did this interview like a few months ago on that very topic, addressing why has northern Minnesota turned so Republican over the past few years. And I think a big reason why that's been happening is that, well, yeah, technically you are voting against your best interest at times when you vote Republican. They're at least empathizing with the fact that, yeah, you are going through economic struggles in areas like northern Minnesota or West Virginia. And that while Republicans might not always have the best solutions, they are at least proposing solutions. They're empathizing with the fact that you are going through economic struggles, and that does speak to a lot of people, I think. When, on the other hand, you look at the Democratic Party and you sometimes see them moving in a very corporatist direction, which kind of makes them come off as being aloof to voters sometimes in those areas, like the 8th District of Minnesota or even in West Virginia. So we have a lot more on that when I talked to Aaron Brown a few months ago. I'll see if I can find that exact date coming up during the next commercial break. But we got into a really nice long conversation about how northern Minnesota has been turning red over the past few years and, well, even decades at that. Hey, we got Rich in Tempe, Arizona. Oh, Rich, I think you're going in the same direction I was about to, talking about a new Green Party candidate who might be our former governor, Jesse Ventura. Is that where you were going, Rich?
Yeah, because it was reported in the Star Tribune. Mm-hmm. The problem is I can't vote for him in Arizona because a couple years ago the Green Party was voted off the island in Arizona, so there's no Green Party here.
Can you explain how that worked so they're not allowed on the ballot anymore is what you're saying?
Yeah, because the Republican legislature a couple years ago got nasty for third party, so they put up these different rules and regulations, so it's more stricter to get on the ballot for third party.
Just to back up for 1 second, that sounds really interesting, Rich, because if anything, I would think Republicans would benefit from having a Green Party candidate on the ballot, being that they would potentially steal votes from Democratic candidates. But as you're talking about, it's Republicans who were making this push. Was there maybe some Libertarian Party that was rising up in Arizona that potentially could have been stealing votes from Republicans? Because
there is a Libertarian Party, mm-hmm. but I forget because this is old news from mm-hmm. up to 2 years ago. I'm not too sure the Libertarian Party is still registered in Arizona mm-hmm. or not, but I know for a fact the Green Party is not. So I can't vote for Jesse.
So, in theory, in an election, you would go for Jesse Ventura over Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Is that what you're saying?
For the two previous election cycles, I voted for Jill Stein in the Green mm-hmm. Party.
mm-hmm.
So much for that.
But, hey, I always take the position, I'm not going to tell anyone how to vote. So, yeah, if you want to go third party, more power to you. But do you find it kind of weird that Jesse Ventura is potentially running under the Green Party banner? Because to me, he doesn't really strike me as philosophically lining much up with the Green Party. He seems more like kind of a libertarian to me. What are your thoughts on that?
Maybe he's bored in life now.
Yeah, he's looking for any political party that will endorse him. Yeah, because if I remember his political positions back in the late 90s, early 2000s, he wasn't really a liberal or a conservative. He was more on that libertarian side. So it'll be interesting to see if that's really a fit with the Green Party, if they go ahead and maybe try to take him in. Of course, maybe they will just for the idea of name recognition, but certainly is an interesting prospect here this fall if he does end up running and getting that Green Party nomination.
Yeah, I want your opinion since you know him better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I, the big battle would be, could he get that endorsement in the first place? Because I don't know if there's a lot of Greens, if they look at his political positions back when he was the governor of Minnesota, that they would necessarily be thrilled with him, because he had kind of a questionable record on the environment, which is certainly something that's a big part of the Green Party platform. But then I could certainly see a lot of Green Party members thinking, well, look at the name recognition you would get with Jesse Ventura. Even though he's not a perfect ideological match with us, he could potentially get us on the ballot in a number of other states just by that name recognition and getting to a certain percentage point, whether that's 2 or 3 percentage points. I'm not sure what the rules are in the different states, but that, if you get a certain amount of percentage points, could potentially give you major party status, which is certainly a good thing. So, yeah, anyone who's part of the Green Party is certainly going to have a decision to make if he does end up running.
Well, the last sentence of the article, it says there's a Howie Hawkins that's already in the primaries for the Green Party to run. So,
I
guess Jesse will face competition.
Sounds like he will. I don't think Jill Stein is running in this cycle. I believe she has already said no. But, yeah, it'll be a dynamic that will certainly be faced by a lot of Green Party people if it's Jesse Ventura versus the other. Who is the name of the other person you mentioned there, Rich?
It says Howie Hawkins is currently leading in the primaries for the party's nominee. He's a retired Teamster and organizer who has run for office about 24 times.
All right, Rich, hey, appreciate the phone call. We're going to move on to some other stories, but appreciate you calling in from Tempe, Arizona. Calling in and listening over at am950radio.com or over on that TuneIn app. Yeah, if Jesse ended up getting the Green Party nomination and being on the ballot in a number of states, I do wonder who he would steal votes from. Would it be Donald Trump or would it be Joe Biden? Like what I was talking about, normally the Green Party would steal votes or siphon votes away from the Democratic candidate. But if you look at least the ideological history of Jesse Ventura, he does certainly lean a little bit more libertarian, which means maybe he could peel off some votes from Republicans. Yeah, I'm not sure how that would really play out in a general election if Jesse Ventura were to end up on the ballot. Certainly he wouldn't win, but he could have an effect if he ends up taking in about 1, 2, or even 3 percentage points. That would be tough to say because he's a libertarian, but then he would be potentially running on the Green Party ballot, which is generally considered more of a left-leaning political party. I don't know, Sam, what do you think about that? Do you think he would end up stealing more from Joe Biden or Donald Trump if he ended up running?
Yeah, it's a tough call, but I don't. My gut kind of goes with maybe more from Biden because in my mind, Biden's a little bit more to the center, whereas Trump's pretty far right. So I feel like he would pull more of those cent, because it's a weird dynamic being the kind of libertarian-esque, but under the Green. Like, that's a really confusing kind of, I'm kind of confused about it myself.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Even as I'm thinking here of a number of never-Trump Republicans, I don't think Jesse Ventura would necessarily be very appealing to them, so... Yeah, who knows how that will all shake out. And by the way, Jesse was tweeting about this over the past few days. He said, this is his first tweet he sent out. He said, quote, "Okay, I've decided I'm going to test the waters. If, in capital letters, I were to run for president, the Green Party would be my first choice. I've endorsed the party and I'm testing the waters." He then did follow up on that and said nothing is official yet, so it's still undecided as to whether he would seek the Green Party endorsement. By the way, wouldn't be the first time that a prominent name has sought the endorsement of the Green Party. Can't believe this person ran for that endorsement a few years ago. Do you know who did? Roseanne Barr. Yep, she ran for the Green Party nomination and ended up losing to Jill Stein. I think that was 2012.
Another one that just doesn't really seem like their policies like match up with the Green Party. I feel like some people just look at the Green Party as, hey, they're not Republicans or Democrats. Mm-hmm. Let's try them out.
What's interesting, too, now that we're talking about third parties, is that they're very hard to poll as to whether you include them in polling questions. I was listening to a podcast, oh gosh, a few weeks ago, that was talking about this very topic, because if you include them in polling questions, generally you end up having more people saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote third party than they actually will, because you get people that'll think, oh, yeah, that sounds kind of appealing. I want to go for the Green Party or the Libertarian candidate. But then when they end up in the voting booth, they think, well, I want to go back and vote for the lesser of two evils. So if you include them in polling questions, they generally end up being overrepresented. But then, of course, if you don't include third party candidates on poll questions, then they're obviously underrepresented because you're not even asking about them. So it was an interesting discussion. It might have been the 538 Politics podcast I was listening to, and the difficulty of how you deal with polling and third-party candidates, because you're basically either going to be overrepresenting their vote or underrepresenting their vote. Let's take one more call before we head to our final commercial break. We got Randy in St. Cloud. Hey, Randy, what are you thinking about today?
Well, just about what you've been talking about, and I heard the comment that, you know, Jesse wouldn't have a chance no matter what he was running on, but I seem to recall that being the general feeling a long time ago when he was running against
maybe 1998.
And, yeah, there's no way, and he did it, because for the most part, people are sick to death of this, you know, lesser of two evils decisions we keep getting put, that we keep being presented with. And it's, if Jesse ran, I could easily see him taking 20 or 25%. He'd kind of be like a Ross Perot, just because people are so sick of this crap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Biden or Trump, what's going to really happen, and the reason the polling is, one of the reasons the polling is so crap is that most of the polling, and 538 does it too, is they're calling landlines. And guess who doesn't have landlines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, younger people, yeah.
I've got five kids, and not one of them has a landline, and they tell me I'm a geek every time they call.
Well, a number of pollsters have moved in that direction of calling cell phones, but yeah, it certainly has presented a challenge in terms of polling. Although I will point out, for the most part, the polls were largely right back in 2018, but it still certainly is a challenge, though.
Yeah, that's a challenge. Mm-hmm. And the other part of the deal of people don't really know about third parties because nobody covers them.
Mm-hmm.
There's almost, they just shut down the Twitter account of the Howie Hawkins. It's H2O20 is his Twitter account, and Twitter said it was a fake account, and they shut it off.
Really? They shut down his entire account? That seems a little
he's going,
odd. I'd have to
do more research
on that.
Yeah, I just saw it on a show the other day, and they said, yeah, they shut him off. And he's tried to get back to him twice, and they just don't respond.
All right, so, Randy, appreciate the thoughts. Unfortunately, we are coming up against the break, but always good to have you call in. Yeah, I'm a little more skeptical that he could pick up like 20% of the vote. I think it would be healthy if we had a third-party candidate pick up 20 or 30% of the vote, but I just think the political climate is so much different than it was 20 years ago, and then you add the fact that this is a presidential election and not a governor election, I think you're going to have a lot of people that are going to be voting against the other side rather than voting potentially for a third party. But like I said, I think it would be healthy if we could ever reach that point where a third party does get like 20 or 30% of the vote, but yeah, I don't think that's quite happening during this election cycle. Take our final break. Come on back for one more segment of FYI Politics.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics, and I want to thank you for listening to AM 950. The advertisers you hear are what allows us to stay on the airwaves, and unfortunately, some of them are going to be going through some tough times with the coronavirus. So support our advertisers in any way you can, whether that's ordering takeout food from one of our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, purchasing gift cards, or just contacting them and telling them thanks for supporting AM 950. Even the littlest thing you can do can go a long way. Find a full list of our advertisers at am950radio.com. And thanks for listening.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
They really appreciate what she's done as a sister as well as a soldier and, you know, supporting their country.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join.
Family members that are soldiers in the Army National Guard inspire and influence, setting a path for others.
It's validating knowing that, you know, I kind of did my part to make sure this is what they actually wanted and that they feel the same way I do. I'm really proud that we get to help shape the future, and I know that my sisters are going to be amazing soldiers.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share in.
A lot of pride, and they're just out there doing something every day and then serving their country as well.
I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture.
Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake would like to say Pini Gigi for all your support these last 3 years. We discuss national and local Native news and events. Weekly correspondents bring us updates and information from all over Turtle Island.
Native Roots Radio I'm Awake is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Saturdays live 1 to 3. Free Leonard Peltier.
So I don't have this story in front of me. I'll hopefully have it tomorrow, but I remember looking a few weeks ago. I meant to bring it up on one of my shows, but I think I ran out of time, similar to like I am right now. But it had to do with the fact that, at least in Minnesota, third parties trying to get on the ballot were running into quite the situation with the COVID-19 pandemic, because I believe it was like, God, I have to have the story in front of me. I think it's at some point in May, they have like a one-week period where they have to get a certain amount of signatures to be able to appear on a ballot. And as you can imagine, with social distancing, very difficult to get the required number of signatures. So I'll try to find that story and maybe talk about that on tomorrow's show. A couple other stories to bring up before we have to leave you. So you've been hearing over the past few weeks probably how Major League Baseball has been trying to come up with these different plans to get their games resuming. They originally talked about having every team play in Arizona. Then it morphed into a plan where they would have three groups of teams playing in Arizona, Texas, and Florida. Well, now the NHL has joined on that bandwagon, and they potentially have a plan where a number of teams would be playing in Minnesota in empty arenas. The reason being is that, according to this release from ESPN, the NHL is looking at some potential locations around the country that could host as many as four NHL games as one time. And being that Minnesota has a number of NHL caliber rinks, we were listed as one of those potential sites. Although, don't count on going to any of those games since they would all be played in empty arenas. I don't know. Do we really need to bring sports back amid the COVID-19 pandemic? I think not.
The billionaires would sure love it.
Yeah, well, they need to make their money somehow. They're certainly taking a bath at the ticket gate, so they're probably looking to recoup some TV money. All right, that's all the time I got for today on FYI Politics. I will talk to you tomorrow.